You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm Mark King, your host for this show. I appreciate everyone sending in those questions for Monday mailbag. Yesterday, it was a good show. Today's a great show as well. Got Jeff Calkins on the show from ESPN 99, The Jeff Calkins Show. Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock every morning. Also writes for the Daily Memphian. So we're going to talk to him in the third segment of the show, or just the last segment. And we'll get his thoughts on the trade and the things that didn't happen. We talked about Chris Wallace's presser for a minute and just kind of got his thoughts on that as well. So I appreciate Jeff joining me in that for a few minutes and talk about Grizzlies, and hopefully we'll do that again soon. Other than that, the Grizzlies have a game tonight. Grizzlies play the San Antonio Spurs tonight for the last time of the year. And so we're going to have a good old game preview. It's been so long since we've been able to do one of these game previews, just because there's been so much to talk about over the last month and a half. It feels like that we really haven't been able to get to our game previews and our recaps like we should or like we want to. I really like to dissect those things a little bit better, just basketball related, but we just haven't had the time. But just been so much going on, as you guys very well know. And there's some other things that we kind of stopped doing as well. We stopped doing our rookie update. We stopped doing our rankings update just because, you know, I only technically supposed to have like 23 to 25 minutes to do these shows every day. I usually go over every single day. And so there's just not enough time in every show to talk about everything that's been happening for the past month and to talk about those type of things. So now that the Grizzlies have passed the trade deadline, we don't have to talk about that anymore. We can probably get back into some game previews, some really good game previews, some better game recaps, and then just also get back into those rookie updates, just see how Jaren Jackson stacks up against the league and the ranking updates. And we'll still continue, obviously, to do our Monday and mailbag. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, just so everybody knows. It's been a while. I'm not neglecting them. It's just, we've just had so much other stuff to talk to. Let's get right into the game preview for the San Antonio Spurs. Again, this is the last time they're going to play the San Antonio Spurs this year. They played them two wins and one loss earlier in the year. They had their first win early in the year, 104-103. That was when they were 12-5. I think that put them at 12-5. Then they lost to the next time they played them at San Antonio, 108-88. And they beat them just recently, 96-86. That was in the forum just a few weeks ago in January. Actually, more than a few weeks ago now. It feels like only a few weeks ago, but at the beginning of January. And then now they're taking them on to get the series sweep of the San Antonio Spurs. Now, like, it doesn't really matter that you get the sweep. It just matters because it is the Spurs, and always like to beat the Spurs when you can. But it doesn't really matter. Usually it's for playoff ties and such. It still feels good either way. Injury notes of their team. There's nothing really huge right now. Obviously, Jonte Murray is out for the year. Rudy Gay is day-to-day. That was last updated on the 9th, so we'll see what he's listed at for tomorrow's game. He has an ankle sprain. I would assume he will play. That's been a few days. Again, that was when he didn't play against the Jazz, so I would assume he'll probably play tomorrow. But other than that, nothing of real note from their injury report of the Spurs. For the Grizzlies, the injury report is pretty small for the first time, and it feels like quite a while. Kyle Anderson is out still with that right shoulder soreness, and Dylan Brooks is out obviously with his toe injury. I haven't gotten an update on Kyle Anderson. I'll ask tomorrow when I'm at the game when they plan on providing another one. See if we can't get an update on Kyle Anderson when he can go out. The one thing I've noticed about the Grizzlies, just looking at over the box scores and watching these games in the past, is they've really done a good job at holding DeMar DeRozan to a respectable score. The first game was really the only game when he really played lights out, and he only had, I don't say only, but he only had 24 points that day. And then the next two games, he had 12 points and 9 points. So the Grizzlies have done historically a really good job on DeMar DeRozan this year, but they've also, they've also had Kyle Anderson, and they also had Garrett Temple in all those games. So this is definitely a different look for the Grizzlies for sure. It's definitely going to be a different test. So I'll be interested to see who they put on DeMar DeRozan tomorrow with Kyle Anderson out. That'll be very interesting to see. I'm assuming probably Justin Holiday will get a lot of run on DeMar DeRozan. That is probably my assumption there, just based on obviously who is available to them and just kind of I would assume that he gets the best of kind of defensive role there. You know, if for some reason Rudy Gay doesn't play, that obviously makes the Grizzlies' lives a little bit easier. He's able to score the ball still for the Spurs and does a really good job at it. He didn't play in the last meeting between the two. So obviously, you don't want wish ill on anybody, but if he doesn't play, it doesn't make it look Grizzlies a little easier. And you know, it's such a different look right now for the Grizzlies. Marc Gasol obviously not here anymore. Garrett and Jermichael gone. I know that JB Bickerstaff has said that Ivan Rabb will start and continue to start. I like Ivan Rabb, and I've been saying for a long time he needs to start. But you know, there also needs to be a five on the floor. And if the Grizzlies aren't committed to playing Jaren Jackson Jr. at the center position right now, I've seen them say that they don't want to play him on the, you know, I've seen JB say they don't want to play him at the center position right now. You know, I would consider starting Valanciunas and just bring Ivan Rabb off the bench. There's no reason that he can't get 25 minutes off the bench. You know, and I don't, you know, Joakim Noah had a lot of minutes of the night. Obviously he played good. He played well, but like I said in the last show, I just don't think that that's beneficial long-term for you to have Joakim Noah soaking up 30 minutes. I mean, you know, I would really focus on your core big rotation to be Ivan Rabb, Valanciunas, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Jonas is a traditional center. He is a rebounder. He has got a great post game. Can shoot the three, but doesn't shoot it often at all, really. But is more, like I said, he is a rebounder and a post up guy. He is like an old school center. If you thought Marc Gasol was an old, like kind of bruising center, kind of in a puck with a post game, well, Jonas is like double that. He doesn't quite have the passing skills that Mark has. Obviously, Mark's one of the best passing, probably the best passing big in the NBA. But just, you know, he doesn't have those type of things. So it's definitely a different look for the Grizzlies. So I would hope they would focus their energy and effort into making sure they see what you got with those three, especially, you know, someone like Jonas, who we've talked about, he has a player option this year. He may or may not be back. They may want to, if they really like what they see, is only 26. I mean, you could negotiate a lower payment, but longer term with him. It is an option. So it needs to be focused on and seeing what you got with Jonas Valanciunas. The Spurs, just looking at their stats and league rankings right now, they are not a great three-point shooting team. Obviously, they don't have a whole lot of lights-out shooters, but they are very, very good in the paint. They are extremely good in the paint. They are very good at rebounding the ball. They are very good at getting into the paint and getting fouls. I mean, you're looking at the number one league ranking team in two-point attempts, and they are second in two-pointers made. They are 10th in free throws made, and they are 10th in total rebounds. So there's a very good rebounding team. It is a very good team that just drives, gets into the paint, drives to the basket, creates fouls. They're not going to, it's not a Houston team where they're going to shoot lights out, anything like that. So for the Grizzlies, it's more about forcing them to shoot the ball from the outside. You don't have a whole lot of shooters on the team that just are, like I said, knockdown shooters for this team. DeMar DeRozan is not a great three-point shooter. Obviously, neither is LaMarcus Aldridge. The best three-point shooters they have is Bryn Forbes, which we'll see heavy minutes tomorrow. He's their best shooter. And, you know, Patty Mills is good when he gets good looks. And Marco Bellinelli can also be good when he gets good looks as well. But, you know, force them outside the paint. Force them into something that they're not comfortable with, and force them to be a jump shooting team. That is where you want to be with the Spurs and try to win this game. The Grizzlies obviously have won three of the last four games, so this is a team, and quite frankly, it might be a slightly better roster than the Portland trade deadline. I don't really know. It depends on what you, again, what you view Jonas Valanciunas as and what you view DeLon Wright as. But it'll get us our first opportunity to see Valanciunas on this team. He didn't play on against the Pelicans, so he'll play against the Spurs. He should be available. I haven't heard anything different. So, again, this is a team that you want to make sure you put and be able to put them in to jump shooting positions, cut the lane off, force them to pass the ball, force them to make and take difficult shots, put a hand in people's face. That's what you should be doing with this San Antonio team at this point in the season. And I think the Grizzlies, I think they have the opportunity to do that. They definitely obviously have new faces, but they definitely obviously have the opportunity to do just that. They have good defensive guys, I think they have good enough defensive guys to force them into bad three-pointers. Jaren Jackson obviously anchoring that defense now. And then, obviously Mike Conley's a good defensive player. Justin Holiday's a good defensive player. If they wanted to put Javon Carter out there, if they needed to put him out there in certain stretches for defensive purposes, they could do that as well. But they do have the capabilities to be able to do this. And so hopefully they focus – they focus their lineup, the bigs lineup, on the young guys. They get Bruno Caboclo some more run. Actually, he probably won't play because his 10-day deal is up Tuesday. So he won't be available unless they decide to sign him long term. So he won't be available for the Grizzlies against the Spurs. But still, focus your effort on your young guys. I'd love to see Javon Carter get some more run. DeLon Wright, obviously. You kind of know what you have. And CJ Miles, you kind of know what you have there. He looked good the other day, though. So, jump shots are the last thing. That's what I say about Mike Conley. Why I say he, could play with anybody, because jump shots are kind of the last thing to go. He's got a good one. Maybe CJ Miles makes a resurgence. I don't know. He hasn't been good the past couple, year and a half, almost 2 years. So maybe he makes a resurgence and can shoot the ball. But obviously, I would hold judgment on that, because look what happened with Shelvin Mack. He was awesome for 3 weeks, and then he was the worst player on the planet after that. So, again, the Grizzlies have a really good chance of winning this game. I think that they are able to play this team pretty well. I've just seen the past matchups with the Spurs. Hopefully, they are able to get another win, because you want to inch ever closer to that ninth spot. As we say, that is the goal, as it should be. It's not a great goal, but it is a goal nonetheless. Coming up next after the break, we will talk to Jeff Calkins of 92.9, the Jeff Calkins Show, every weekday from 9 to 11. He also writes for the Daily Memphian. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back to the show. Got a great guest for the show today, Jeff Calkins of the Jeff Calkins Show, Monday through Friday, 9-11 every Monday through Friday on 92.9 and the Daily Memphian. Jeff, what's going on, man?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you not doing this for a little bit, so I'm glad we're able to finally get it done. I just want to get right into it. Chandler Parsons is making his way back to the Grizzlies over the weekend. I kind of said this on my show on Monday that it I don't think it really matters, because he'll probably get hurt in the first game or be out the next game with knee soreness. But your thoughts on Chandler Parsons coming back?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. What's very clear is that they didn't want him back. I read or saw different places would sort of implied that, they must not have been able to deal him at the deadline, and so they decided might as well bring him back and see if they can get value for him by playing. It has nothing to do with that. It's purely the Anthony Davis situation, where teams in the NBA, because the Pelicans wanted to sit Anthony Davis and he was not having it, that precedent right. is set. Therefore, Chandler didn't want to be, even though lots of players have been sent into exile before. Zach Randolph was, Joakim Noah was, etc. Chandler didn't want to be in exile, and so they worked out a deal where he'd be coming back. The team does not want him back, but he's back. And now that doesn't mean that JB doesn't want him back or won't play him. He's not guaranteed playing time, but that's where we are. And so to me, it's a distraction at a time when we've finally gotten through the distraction that is the trade deadline. It's another distraction sort of layered on top of the season. It's not something that the team particularly wanted, but it's unavoidable, and they are paying for the mistake of signing him in the first place.
Yeah, we were at the presser on Friday, and we listened to Chris Wallace tell us about the things that he thought was good and bad about this trade. What do you, first of all, your thoughts on the trades themselves, and then also wanted to know, what do you think about the idea of them publicly coming out and saying that they want to convey this pick? Like, that's their stated goals publicly for, I think, for the first time all year, that that's what they want to do.
Well, it was interesting because I have Chris Harrington on my show every day at 10, and he was stunned by that this was sort of a newsworthy reaction. He said, "Of course they're trying to convey the pick," and so he went actually back to his preseason stuff he'd written, and literally in maybe the very first thing he ever wrote for the Daily Memphian, he had Chris Wallace quoted as saying they wanted to convey the pick. So it literally isn't the first time that he had said on the record that one of the goals was to convey the pick. It's obvious, of course, they want to convey the pick. I thought it was a little odd to assert it now, however, because, you know, I hope they convey the pick, either that or jump into the top four. For the sake of the franchise, I hope they do. But if you were – I don't think the odds are good that they – I think it's more, less likely rather than more likely that they would finish ninth. I think it's unlikely that they will finish ninth. I think they have a shot at finishing ninth. And then, of course, they have a shot at finishing eighth and getting bumped to ninth. Both of those things are possible. But it's just sort of a – it was an interesting thing to say because it sets up this bar. Let's finish ninth from the bottom that I don't think they'll likely be able to meet, but do have a chance to meet. And honestly, it's just saying out loud what everybody knows, which is that they don't want to get stuck in a situation where 2 years from now, they're giving the number two pick or something to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it is an interesting situation. And I said on my show, I think Friday, that these moves seem more along the lines of trying to win and convey that pick than they were about building for the future, and they almost like they kicked the can down into the summer. What are your thoughts on the trades with Valanciunas, I guess, and DeLon Wright being the main pieces that they got back?
Well, I mean, I think if they'd been offered, in terms of that, I think if they'd been offered prime future picks, they sure would have taken them, you know? So right. I don't think it was intentional. Oh, we're being offered this great selection of future assets, and yet we're going to turn them down to instead get guys who can help us now in order to convey the pick. I think the way it worked out, they weren't really being offered much in the way of prime assets. I mean, if the Charlotte deal, evidently, it involved taking back a lot of bad money. And
right.
And then what they consider, I mean, you heard Chris Wallace say that they don't really value what would be a seventh pick in this draft. You know, where are they going to feel about right. a mid-teens or late-teens right. pick in this draft? And so I think pretty clearly, if they'd been offered futures, great futures, they would have taken it. As it was, they didn't want to clutter up the cap with a lot of bad money. And this won't, depending on how it works, it doesn't look like it'll do it. Obviously, CJ Miles is here beyond this year, but we don't know about, beyond that. I just don't think they were offered much. And so they felt like compelled to move Mark, obviously, for various reasons. A, because he could walk away for nothing at the end of this year, but B, because it had become so emotionally fraught that it was sort of just time. And this is the best, felt like this is the best deal they got.
Yeah, so I thought the best thing they did all along was keep Mike Conley. I think he's a guy that can play with anybody. It's a hard spot to fill on a point guard, but your thoughts on just being able to keep Mike Conley for the future, at least until the summer where they could decide then?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the one right risk, obviously, is injury. And if he has right. a horrific injury, then you're stuck with 2 years with a bad number. And so that's really the only reason. When you're trying to convey the pick, it makes sense. When you're trying to continue to develop the young players, it makes sense. You don't want to be rudderless, so it makes sense. And I presume that deals will be available probably as good or better than the deals that were available at the deadline this summer. So for all kinds of reasons, I think it makes sense, with the caveat that if he suffers some horrific injury, you're then stuck. That's the risk they're taking. But otherwise, it makes a lot of sense. And I think, like, it was – Mike was clearly shaken by it. He was not happy. If you took
– right.
At that press conference on Friday, you could tell. Like, he was not – this was not something that he enjoyed, and I don't think he particularly liked that the organization put him through it, honestly. But beyond that, I think it was – I mean, he's such a pro, And he's just such a stabilizing influence that I think for all kinds of reasons, fingers crossed that he doesn't get hurt, that yes, it made sense to do what they did. And people were like, oh, keeping Mark would have been quote unquote awkward. Keeping Mike isn't awkward at all. Mike is just never awkward. And so right. Here we are. The first of the core four to arrive becomes the last to leave. But there's sort of a nice symmetry to it. And I expect he'll be dealt this summer.
Yeah, Peter Edmondson and Amari Sankofa and I were joking one night after one of the games that of all the players in the league to have to go through this kind of stuff and say goodbye like five times, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley are like the nicest people to do it like too, because there are some players in this league who have just been like, no, I'm done here. I'm not going to show back up until you trade me. So of all the players, Mike Conley is like the one person that it's not awkward and it's okay to do too. So yeah, it's just a weird situation. But Jeff Calkins of the Jeff Calkins Show, man, I appreciate you joining me. If you're not already listening to his show, make sure you go listen to it. Read your stuff on the Daily Memphian. It's $7 a month, right?
$7 a month. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks again to Jeff Calkins for joining me. I really appreciate him coming on to record this show on Monday night for as we usually record them the night before, but I appreciate him coming on. Again, if you have questions for Monday Mailbag, you can send them to us via Twitter, via Facebook, via email. If you want to be a featured sponsor on the show, just email me at lockdowngrizz@gmail.com. We have an audience that's growing literally every single week. It's growing every single day, really. Also, make sure you subscribe in iTunes so you get automatic downloads every single day. Make sure if you have a chance, please go leave us a review in iTunes. Rate us 5 stars, give us a good review. It helps in the iTunes rankings. I really appreciate that you have the time. If not, find us on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or just go to lockdowngrizzlies.com.